My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And that's the weird part about this boom that the WNBA is experiencing, is because they're experiencing a real-life boom. And then they're experiencing this very weird social media boom. And you could determine whether that's good or it's bad, because it's taken on this weird dynamic of black versus white and MAGA and Democrat and all of these like weird little things that I've pointed this out several times. Caitlin hasn't had a misstep yet. People say Caitlin's got to say this, got to say that. She did. She talked. She was asked directly about them using her name and in different arguments about race and gender and all of that stuff. She addressed it. She was asked, well, that Angel Reese flagrant foul. She was like, it was basketball play. Mm-hmm. She was going for the ball. What'd you think about the flagrant foul? I needed to make the two free throws. Like, she hasn't bit on any of this. Right. To like a certain degree, I don't think Angel has either. Like, Angel's responses have been a little bit different, but I don't really have a problem with the one specific line she used about they're watching all of us. It was something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing. They're here to see me too. Mm-hmm. That type of thing. Because she's right. It's her. It's Asia. It's the two loss New York Liberty right now. It's the two loss Connecticut Sun. Mm-hmm. It's Nafisi in Minnesota. There's a lot of players to love and to watch right now. It isn't about one, but it's really just social media that's making it about one. Sure. Thus, your first takes. No one has ever watched that show and said, boy, these guys really got in depth on. Finish the sentence with whatever topic you want. Mm-hmm. Yo, does anyone think we're joking when the day after game one, Stephen A. Smith goes on First Take and says, I owe an apology to De'Aaron Fox. I wasn't familiar with that brother's game.
This really happened for people who don't realize. The guy who basically leads ESPN's media coverage after game one of the playoffs was like, I wasn't familiar with De'Aaron Fox.
Does anyone at all believe that game wasn't the first time Stephen A. Smith sat down and watched De'Aaron Fox and the Sacramento Kings? No. So why the hell am I going to believe he's waking up on Sunday morning to watch Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese? Or anything involving the WNBA, or anything that doesn't involve the Lakers, which he's going to have to talk 40 minutes about, or the Cowboys, or whoever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. And there's no greater example than the De'Aaron Fox example. You didn't know De'Aaron was good prior to that game? Mind you, don't forget, He had played 82. He was an all-NBA player. I wasn't familiar with that brother's game. No, you just told us. You just told us. You're not watching. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron had a phenomenal game one. He had 14 games in the regular season like that. Some of them were on your network.
Yeah.
And you didn't know. But I'm supposed to believe you're familiar with Angel Reese's game.
Mm.
Or Kennedy Carter's game. I'm not. Right. I'm not buying it.
Right.
And that is, I think, the bulk of the conversation is people who are pretending they're familiar with something because they saw it on social media. And they're not. And this isn't just Angel Reese. I think or the WNBA. This is life.
Mm-hmm.
People go to social media when they want to learn something, and it is the worst place on the planet to try to learn something.
Yeah, it's just try to, and once again, I'm not going to act holier than now. I see something on Twitter, time to time, I just kind of roll with it without doing the research. I try to make sure if I see.
Yeah, you got a couple times, we remember.
Well, that was, you can find those on YouTube that just well, pop up randomly.
Well,
I don't know how those things pop up, but yeah, you know, but, you know, you try to look at that and see things and be like, oh, okay, well, hopefully it sparks, like, more research on it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you see something about this player, I don't know, you know, being the first player to do this, oh, well, okay, well, when were the other times or who's mm-hmm. the other person or something like that? It just doesn't typically happen that way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I would like for – us as a basketball watching public, as a sports community, to get past this point at some point and just kind of watch the games. I do it myself. Like I kind of tune out the noise. It doesn't really bother me. I just watch the league and enjoy the league. I just watch an Indiana Fever game and enjoy the game and enjoy Caitlin, and same with the Sky and the Sparks and everybody else. But I do see, like, oh, here we go again. It's leading Sports Center talking about this play, and it's just like, I hope we get past this at some point.
I hope we do. I'm a little suspect.
I'm gonna go ahead.
This to me was by far the most amazing clip of the weekend. The Aces currently stink, and it's bizarre to watch. And this is Angel Reese in the postgame press conference after they had just lost to New York, I think, the Liberty. And here's Asia Wilson.
I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to try to be the best. I get y'all saying best player in the world. That's
and
great.
For those who aren't watching, she's very emotional. Like, that's not the sound of, like, she is just completely broken up at the way that her team is playing.
Y'all saying best player in the world, that's great, it looks great, but I want to be the best person. I want to be the best teammate, because that's how I get the best out of my team. So when it comes to wins, losses, when I tell you I break this game down piece by piece, because I'll...
Shut up, Asia Fox.
Can't say... So what got me? What got me is I purposely looked for the Fox one because I had seen the original one. So I guess in Las Vegas TV, just a little different.
It's all good. Keep me on my toes, I guess.
I purposely grabbed the TV one because I saw the original unedited one and was like, let me get a TV version. Found this Fox 5 one, and
Fox said, "To hell with the bleep here. I guess, just let it ride."
I guess she said it twice too.
I guess they operate a little different in Las Vegas. Salute. Knowing what said later, we'll just ditch that. The gist of it though is one, that's my superstar right there. Give me a player who acts like that when her team is like 6-6. And has already won two titles and has already won, you know, multiple MVPs. Give me that.
Yeah.
The story of the NBA season, the story of the WNBA season is that woman who was just sitting at that podium with tears running down her eyes talking about being the best person. I've never heard a single person on the planet say that Asia Wilson isn't an amazing person. That woman right there is the best player on the planet right now.
Best player on the planet, and maybe the best leader on the planet. And that is a winning mentality. That's a winning mindset that's infectious to a locker room. Las Vegas is unbelievably talented. Becky Hammon is a great coach. Chelsea Gray, Kelsey Plum, you know, Jackie Young. These are great players. But it's no coincidence that they have been as good as they have been, not just in the championship season, but when they fell a little short. They're still a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
It's no coincidence that they've been that good and that successful with that lady in the locker room and leading things.
She is, I think we compared her to Jesse to Patrick Mahomes last mm-hmm. week. And man, like, that's accurate, because if Patrick Mahomes was in the league for like 2.5 minutes before they said, you know, this guy could wind up being the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. This woman has been in the league far longer than that, and I can tell you she's going to be in the conversation of the greatest of all time.
She's a winning basketball player. Simple
she's averaging, and I think this is part of what's behind those tears that she was shedding over the weekend, is that team is 6-6. She's averaging 28 and 11.5. That is insane.
Man.
Especially for a 6-6 basketball team. She's shooting 51% from the field. Mm. She's shooting 43% from three. She's shooting 85% from the line.
Mm.
Those are her numbers this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're not 6-6 because she's falling short.
Right.
But it's part of the season. It's part of the story. If you're going to cover the league, you can cover Caitlin. If you feel you have to have a weird angle to it, fine. You got to cover Angel. That's great. Make sure you're covering Asia Wilson.
Absolutely.
Because if her, we'd be looking at a historic season.
Yeah.
If it wasn't drowned out by the confusion that her team's a little bad right now, and we're not used to seeing that with Asia, and we're certainly not used to seeing that with the Las Vegas Aces, who I think have lost the same amount of games right now, 12 games into this season, than they lost all of last season.
Mm. Tough, man. Tough. But with somebody like Asia right there, they'll figure something out. That, I got no doubt in my mind that they'll figure something out to turn this thing around, maybe hold it down until Chelsea gets back and, you know, they can get back to their winning ways. That's just the type of leader that they have in that locker room.
It does bring up an interesting, like, when is Chelsea coming back?
I don't know. I have no idea.
All right.
That's kind of crazy. I got a quick question.
We'll watch that story a little closer.
I got a quick question for you that maybe you could help a debate that I had most of Saturday morning that was – it had different layers to it.
I was a part of that debate. The Undertaker is top 10, no matter how much.
That was Saturday afternoon.
Oh, okay. All right. Just making sure.
Does the WNBA make a profit right now?
No.
Are
you asking my? They don't.
So, the 2023 season, 2024 mm-hmm. season, are they going to make a profit as a league?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think the league has ever made a profit.
They have
the league as in its totality. Individual teams have mm-hmm. and do.
Mm-hmm.
The league as a whole, no. I think I know the number of the amount. I just read an article on this because their TV rights, and I don't think you and I talked about this. I don't even know that I knew this
mm-hmm.
until like 2 weeks ago, because we marveled at Adam Silver's brilliance when we found out the international television deals are expiring as the same time as the domestic television deals.
Mm-hmm.
The WNBA deals are up too,
mm-hmm.
and they're all getting negotiated at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a belief that the WNBA is going to like quadruple their media rights deals. And I think in the article that the total loss for the league, I think, is $50 million.
That's something that I saw on Friday as well.
Okay.
And I didn't know if they were. It's a long discussion about why this conversation happened with a couple of the homies or whatever the case may be. But one of the things that I was telling them was like, yeah, it's probably you probably won't see consistent profits or a profit at all until they get a new TV deal. And that would, I think, help put them more so in the black.
So there's a weird, that's 100% true, but there's also a weird dynamic to that. And we'll talk about that. There's plenty of other things we got to talk about too. Actually, one other WNBA note worth paying attention to, plus James Hamm at the top of the hour. I know y'all have been looking forward to the 13th round, so y'all might want to tap in if you're on AM or the Odyssey app or whatever, because I know, boy, this was the biggest fight in the Caraway household in history. We might even talk about this a little bit on the other side. Oh, the other side.
Oh, look at losing this fastball.
Four years, man. Too much time together. I think I need a day off. Stilo and Casey on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more, Rex.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Shout out Sky River Casino. Shout out West Coast Car Audio as well.
Yeah, man.
Sponsor of the 13th round, I guess. I don't know. Why not?
Why not?
Those are people over there at West Coast Car Audio. If your ride is something special to you, West Coast Car Audio will take great, great care of you. Tell them Tilo and Casey sent you. Can we extend that over in the 13th round over into this? Like, that was a big fight. Javonte Davis is a major draw. I had just gotten to the Juneteenth celebration at Oak Park, was walking around. D-Lo! Turned around, and there was Cheryl and Elk Grove, and I got my big hug, saw the whole family. And as we were walking, I was being yelled at for part of the walk over things that I didn't.
She was hot under the collar.
She was not pleased. And then she took a phone call, and for the next 2 minutes, all I heard was, I'm at Oak Park, but I got to get home for the fight. They talking crazy about Tank. I got to see Tank knock this guy out. I can't wait for the fight. I got to get to the fight.
They talking crazy.
And then, yeah, she was not pleased with the way that they were talking about Gervonta Davis. But I was tapped in enough when I got home from the celebration to see that Tank won again. Tank won again with a KO. And you told me circumstances didn't allow it to happen that night, meaning Saturday night. But you told me years ago, all right, if it's not really a bag and you gotta watch one, Tank Davis is the one you gotta watch.
Gervonta Tank Davis. I made the claim years ago, like around when we started the show, and I haven't wavered from it. And most importantly, he hasn't given me any reason to waver from it. It takes Jesse on Saturday after another knockout, another devastating knockout. Gervonta Tank Davis, for all you young souls out here, for all you Jessies, you Devins who came in here and called us old as dirt, this is Mike
Tyson. Man, jeez. At first, I thought I was just talking about you and Jesse, and I was like, wait a minute. You're talking about me.
This is Mike Tyson all over again.
Mm.
This is Mike. You wanted to know what it was like to live through Mike. Now, it's not exactly the same because Tank is a little 135 guy, and it's not the heavyweight champion of the world. You know, and boxing is in a different place than it was in that time. But as far as, like, what happens, like, you're tuned in to watch a Tank Davis fight, what you're expecting, what you're anticipating, what you're looking for, and what you get, it's the exact same thing as Mike Tyson. This guy is devastating in the ring. And you get other guys in here that knock people out or to finish people and stuff like that. And David Benavidez is an example. Canelo's an example. Terrence Crawford's an example. Where they like kind of break you down as the fight goes along and they kind of bludgeon you and eventually it's too much and you go down. Tank, everything could be going fine. Everything you're punching, you're feeling good or whatever. You feel like you're in the fight and just like that, your lights are out. And and here's the crazy thing about it. You get knocked out. A lot of these guys, they get knocked out, and about 4 minutes later, they're up and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm all right. I'm good. I'm all right. Like that, they just got knocked out for like that, which is more, I don't want to say more impressive, but it's different than like Canelo beating somebody down for like the last six rounds and they just, I can't take anymore and they're busted up or whatever. This dude, Tank, just short circuits you. Just short circuits you for about 4 minutes and then he's hugging you up and talking about great. This is the number one show in all of combat sports, boxing and UFC combined, since they always want to jump into conversation. This is the biggest show in sports. And this is Mike Tyson all over again. He is special. He is special.
Is the biggest difference that he's not a heavyweight?
I think so. I mean, he's not a heavyweight.
I know boxing's in a different place, I feel like when you have a heavyweight that can captivate, I feel like heavyweights captivate differently than lightweights, featherweights,
whatever. Absolutely. I think that's the case. And to be honest with you, like, I'll say it, it's D-Lo and KC, we talk here. Gervonta is a black fighter that has, since day one, ingratiated himself in the hip-hop community, in the black community, and they, if it's a Tank, you saw some of the photos, where we found out Kawhi had a haircut.
Yeah.
Kawhi was there.
We always find about Kawhi's haircuts in the weirdest ways, but yeah.
Right. Kawhi was there. Dame Lillard was there. Freddie Gibbs was there. It is a Tank fight.
I assume LeBron, Savannah, and Bam were all there because they were all at the Aces Liberty game. I assume they all shot over to the fight. I didn't see them.
Rich Paul was there, though. I did see Rich Paul was in the building.
Yeah.
The black entertainment top level people. Tank Davis fight is, that's the one we circling, right?
Yeah.
It's not UFC 301 or whatever the case may be. And I'm not saying one is better than the other. My argument is so many times, especially in combat sports, and maybe in sports in general, the black consumer gets disregarded and disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember a couple years ago, I think it was your boy, Chris Mannix.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's your boy. That's your boy, Chris Mannix. And Mike Coppinger. They were like, they were having a conversation. This was literally like maybe 3 years ago. They were so dumbfounded on why Tank sells out these arenas. They're like, I just don't understand. Somehow he has this following and I just don't understand. Yeah, it's black people. It's hip hop. People who like hip hop. We've been watching Tank for like 6-7 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of gets disrespected and disregarded. And
it's always been the case.
Always been the case, right? And even this fight, ironically enough, Frank Martin, who I talked about in the 13th round, I really like Frank Martin. I think I always thought he was a good fighter coming into the fight, but
that's who he beat.
Yeah. He's really skilled. He's just not, he can't stand up to Tank, but like, I think he could beat people in the future. But they always say one of the hardest fights to sell is a black boxer versus a black boxer. And the build up and all this other stuff. And that's some of the stuff that happened leading up into this fight. But Tank, when you get a chance, I tweeted something about, like, look at the reaction when Tank Davis knocks him out from the people. Like, the people are, it's not like, oh my gosh, he knocked him out. It's, we got what we came to see. Mm-hmm. Like we did with Mike. Like, yes, this is what we came to see. We came to see Tank knock somebody out. He did it. I was watching Tank versus Rolly, which was a fight from about, I think, about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The entire fight, there's people standing in the Barclays Center. They're standing, like, you see this in football games and in some basketball games. They're standing in the Barclays Centers from the start of the fight to, I think it ended in round six or something like that. The energy that this guy brings to the table is unmatched right now. He is the best show in all of combat sports.
And he got off that rope better than Jade and Damian Priest did over the weekend.
Whoever was doing their ropes was doing their job.
I need to call the boxing guy to get this thing taken care of.
But that's what happened over the weekend.
He's phenomenal to watch. I don't think I retweeted this, so. Shoot. I read a great article. And I promise I'll find it and retweet it. I've referenced it before. You were talking about black consumers. We've referenced that Disco Demolition Night before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think it's in Vibe magazine, but it was one of the first breakdowns where it was like, this wasn't an attack on disco music. This was an attack on like black music and the people who consumed disco music. And disco was made and created really for a specific audience that those people had an issue with. This was a rock station that, you know, promoted this night, and the idea was you bring in a disco record, we blow it up, and you get a discount. What SportsCenter and Chris Berman and all of those guys who love to celebrate this is one of the funny ha-ha moments in sports is that people were bringing in songs in the Key of Life and Marvin Gaye and The Temptations and meeting no resistance. And I'm sorry, explain to me in what world that any of those three individuals I just named are disco music. They're not. They're black music. And the whole thing became an aim on black music. And the crazy part was, at least in terms of the genre of disco, was for the most part successful. Disco had already started the fade in terms of radio. It didn't really fade in the clubs, but it had started to fade in radio a little bit, and it evolved in something else. But it was a really good article when you said black consumers getting ignored. It's like this is in virtually every walk of life.
Yes.
I'll find it during the next commercial break and retweet it for you. I love hearing you talk so passionately about boxing. I love hearing you talk about Tank Davis. I certainly loved the excitement surrounding that fight.
Yeah, nobody was more excited than Jerome Elgrove.
I know that to be 100% factual. We've got the 20 wins celebrations graphic out there. We've got the 20 wins celebration video. Kenny's having a day. His boy Tank won, and he got to win number 20. Hopefully our man Jesse is celebrating tonight.
The streamers are on there. The confetti on it. Now,
if you, I'm guessing, knowing Zay, I bet if you turn the sound on, yep, it is playing. I figured it would be. No, this is solid work. This is solid work. By the way, I'll take a chance to mention, because I know Zay's really active in the Discord channel. Pays to be a part of the Discord channel. I did some work over the weekend. And the only crew I told was the Discord crew. I didn't even tell you. I just told the Discord crew.
I'm not even in the Discord.
See, that's your fault.
I need the link. I thought I had the link. I can't find it. You're not
in the loop, but I'm doing a little bit of work. I needed a test market, so I threw it to the Discord channel to go check it out. And I'm gonna leave it there. It's not ready for full public consumption. It's getting there, but. Yeah, you got to get to the Discord channel. You got to talk to somebody.
Well, I need somebody to know. I need to get the link.
It pays to be in there. I think I can send you the link.
Did you see, speaking of Twitter and Discord, did you see the blasphemous flat-out lie that Dr. David created with that tweet?
I don't know. If I was Jesse, I'd think about a protest.
That is
just
absolutely disgusting.
It looks legit to me.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, Doc. Dr. David saying that, trying to basically doctor something up.
Well, he's Dr. David.
Saying I cheated.
I was just on your time.
No. You know, you.
Looks like a tweet to me, pal.
It's completely false. Completely false. That's ridiculous, man. I can't believe people trying to bring me down that way. That's crazy.
I'd go back to find it, but I believe you deleted it already.
You mentioned about that disco demolition night, and I don't want to make too much of it, because the people in Vancouver that did the rioting and stuff like that, they're kind of raked through clothes a little bit. Like, it wasn't like just totally washed away or nothing like that. But I can't lie. And hearing people, like, because they talked to the people who, like, got arrested or got punished or whatever, right? And they were like, oh, you know, I was just a college student that and they gave these stories. I'm not even gonna go too deep into it, but they gave these stories that were really, really soft, right? Like, they're really soft, let me get my point across type stories, right? And I did think about, what if that had happened in Atlanta after the Falcons had lost the Super Bowl? How would that be covered? How would those people be talked about? Just wondered. And like,
what
I said,
if we did destroy country music at Jackson State? Right. Bring in your Morgan Waller record.
Number one artist in the world or in the country.
Blow it up. Yeah, it's
crazy stuff, man. Apparently, though, I missed the story of the weekend, I guess. I had no idea this happened till maybe this morning.
Okay.
What's with Roy McIlroy?
Oh, my God.
I had no idea.
Oh, that was tough. Oh,
and
poor
everybody's
Rory.
Everybody's talking about it. I had no idea.
It's one of those things that, like, a documentary might be made about.
Man,
it was so bad he dropped, like, a notes app. Not even an apology. Just dropped some statement on the notes app.
So this is... I feel bad for any athlete that's got to go through something like that. Like, he was leading the U.S. Open. He bogeyed, I think, two of the last four holes, including 18. And he had two short putts. And, you know, that I think it was the one on 16. The one on 16, like, was like, it was down. And then it, you know, did the roll. Popped right in it, and it did the roll and just came out. It's like, oh, all right, you know, it's fine. Yeah. Then he missed that one on 18, and now you could tell on 18 he was thinking about the one on 16, because 18, at least in comparison to 16, wasn't even close. It's like, and they were both short putts, so he bogeys both of those. Bryson DeChambeau hit a what you just like. I'm not a golf.
That was the one out of the trap.
It was flawless. Mm. Like he couldn't have. It just couldn't have been better. Mm-hmm. And it lined him up to win the tournament. And Rory had to sit there in the clubhouse because he was done. He had to sit there and wait for the puck to the putt to drop. Mm. It does. And he just got the hell out of there. And I know I'm not big into ducking and like in that case, man, it's hard for me to. I can't imagine what he was going through. I don't even know the differential in dollars from one to, you know, yeah. two. I know that would have been his first major in, I think, a decade. Mm. So, and you have it.
Right.
He had it the whole way. Yeah, it was brutal. Yeah. That was one of the most, not having a, you know, any horse in the race. Yeah. That was as a athlete, I felt terrible for him.
Are you familiar with the, I know you are if I bring it up, but like, do you remember the Greg Norman one?
So I do. I remember it more from like what's been written and documented about it. Like, I can't remember like living through it or sitting through it or
seeing that or
like I saw that. Like I saw that happen.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. I didn't live through that in the same way. I was.
Okay.
Sort of. Like it was on, mm-hmm. and it didn't catch my. It didn't catch my attention until the putt, till the 16. Mm. It was like, oh, and I still didn't think, oh, that's tough.
Yeah,
it'd be fine. And I again kind of wasn't paying attention, and back to the kitchen. But then I started hearing the conversation, and so I went back and I watched him miss 18, and thought. It's like it'd still be pretty tough for him to lose. Is he gonna lose this? Mm. And yeah, so
damn, that sucks, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy. I was listening to Bonson,
and again, credit to Bryson DeChambeau. That was a just a incredible 18 to make sure he got that.
Yeah, I was listening to Bonte and Butch this morning on the morning roast, and I was able to get into the chat.
Wow!
I didn't.
Hey, salute!
But if I wanted to, it was available. It was there for you. But Butch was just talking about how he says Rory's got to stay and talk in that situation, and it's one of those things where it's like you talk when it goes good for you. You gotta stand up and talk when it doesn't. If it was as bad as you talked about, there's a part of me that I do understand. Not talking. I get it. But I think about it this way. Like if Reese was in that situation, I was at the tournament as his father. I'd say, I know it's tough, son, but you gotta go talk, man.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta go talk.
Yeah, that's normally how I feel. Mm-hmm. I couldn't blame him.
Mm.
Like I'm not trying to make an excuse for him. I'm not trying to stall him out. Just like, here's what I'd ask Bonte. What?
Well, Butch was saying it.
Or Butch, excuse me. I'm sorry. Here's what I'd ask Butch. What do you want him to say? Mm. Like you saw it. Like you know what happened. Like, do you just want to? Like, what do you want to hear him say? That's so important, right? And I'm not trying to discredit any, you know, golf media members because they all got jobs to do. Part of the story is what happened to Rory and Rory, you know, being able to tell that story. Mm-hmm. It could have just, again, normally that's how I feel. You just, it's part of your responsibilities. You gotta.
Yeah.
But from a human aspect, it's also like, I wouldn't have wanted to say anything either. Rory's kind of a guy who's, I don't feel like he's dipped out like this before. Like he's taken a lot of lumps over the last 10 years. Yeah, man, you can have one.
And that's also the nature of golf, or maybe even more so just golf. Like not even, I'm trying to think of other individual sports, but even tennis, like maybe you could talk about how somebody changed their strategy or something like that. In golf, it's just all you. It's like, what is there really to explain?
Yeah.
That's
the coldest piece. Like, you know, Luka, you know, if the Celtics can win tonight, You know, that you can go to the podium if you're Luca or Rick or Jason Kidd, I mean, and Kyrie Irving, and you can do a lot of we. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to do this, and here's what we got to do next year. And, you know, I think Kyrie and Luca would both say, I got to be better, or I got to do this. You're Rory. You're really talking about the final three holes, and there's no we. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not the only one who saw 18 the way that I did. He was thinking about 16 because of the he didn't. It's not like he blew 16. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those weird spins on the ball where if like he tried to replicate it, as skilled as those guys are, he probably couldn't even replicate it. Mm. And I'm positive he's thinking about that in that moment on 18. And then you look at that shot on 18, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not be thinking about it? That's the human element of sports. That's the human aspect of those type of moments. Mm-hmm. And I talked about it on the handoff a little bit, but I remember, you know, in a situation where Dirk had talked about, you know, being at the free throw line in clutch moments and being nervous. And he's like, anybody tells you, oh, I don't feel the moment. I don't feel no nervous. Like, everybody gets nervous. Like, that is a nerve-wracking moment and position. The greats are able to take a deep breath, get past that nervousness, and get back to their muscle memory or whatever the case may be. But I know it's not $4 million or a $2 million difference for me, but we talk about pros versus Joes. The most nervous I've ever been shooting a basketball was when I went to the line down one with two free throws with $30,000 on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I was nervous as all hell. End up missing the first one. Like, I kind of got over it. The reason why I missed wasn't the nerves. Like, it just went in and out three or four times and popped out. It was a good shot. But, yeah, I could imagine. I don't care how rich he is. I can't imagine with $4 million on the line, a putt. A putt seems like you have less than control than a shot.
Well, it's the same as you. Think about how rich you are, and $30,000 is nothing. Like, it's no big deal. I think for you in the moment, it's the competitiveness. It's winning. Like, Rory, that's what it is. But, like, Rory ain't won a major in 10 years.
Mm.
That's part, like, Rory just that far ahead of Tiger at this point when it comes to those majors. You know what I mean? Shoot, Tiger got one.
Yep.
I don't remember how many years ago it was at this point, but Tiger got the one.
That was, I think, 18, 17.
Is that what 18, it was? 18. I mean, it's one of the most phenomenal sights in recent memory in golf. But, man, that was tough. Mm-hmm. That was tough. A couple of other things. James is going to join us at the top of the hour. There are a couple of more things I want to throw at you. We'll come back. It's D'Lo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino, here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. So a couple of quick things before James Hamm joins us. The New York Times was listening to D'Lo and Casey earlier today and said, hey, not so fast. They published an article saying Warner Brothers Discovery, quote, likely to try to match Amazon's NBA package. Yeah, sit down.
I didn't want to say that, but I really just kind of want them to go away. I love Inside the NBA. I love TNT. I love what they've done with the NBA, but I'm ready to move on.
I think the dude is showing up at the door over and over and over again, and the girl is like, bro, I don't want you. It's been a good few years or whatever, leave me alone. Yeah. I'm moving on.
Adam Silver needs whoever works at Amazon Prime to talk to the TNT guy and be like, hey, it's over. We signed the deal. It's over. This is bad now.
So that's this is where, you know, this could be, you know, why Adam was so vague when addressing, you know, the TV reports during his State of the NBA press conference, if you will, before the NBA finals, is there's a certain level of the clarity on the matching term in the contract is completely unclear. And there was a report that ESPN, no, that, uh, the NBA said, okay, well, matching one of these deals isn't matching it for dollar for dollar. Mm-hmm. Matching it is going over because you can't provide some of the services that these other companies can provide. Mm-hmm. So just matching the dollar figure isn't actually matching the contract. NBC, for example, you can't match the NBC contract because you can't offer us two network television games per week. Mm-hmm. You don't have the right to match the ESPN contract. And Amazon, my guess is their argument is going to be Amazon is offering us a whole host of other things that you can't offer us. Mm. This feels it. And again, in light of Charles Barkley's announcement, look, guys, just ride off into the sunset. It's good.
It's good. We always have the memories.
That's it.
We'll always have the memories.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, it was. You know, the guys at the New York Times have been all over this story. So again, they're likely to match Amazon's offer doesn't necessarily mean that they'll just take over Amazon's offer because right. Clearly the NBA wants Amazon, mm-hmm. and I think they'll be willing to fight TNT. To a certain degree on this, mm-hmm. and that's not how you want to enter this partnership.
No,
you don't want it to be combative.
They'll TNT won't have no games. They'll be like, all right, you can be a partner. Yeah. Show the highlights on Bleacher Report. Mm-hmm. You're not getting any games.
Yeah, and you can be the unofficial League Pass channel for the Hornets.
Yeah,
you're gonna get the Hornets and Wizards. You're gonna get the Hornets and Wizards like the WNBA gets the Fever and Sky every week. And they got another one coming up. They were hyping it up at the end of the last one. You asked earlier about the if the WNBA has turned a profit, mm-hmm. and you know we stated they in fact haven't, that they're losing. We believe, based on some reports and in the vicinity, at least of $50 million per year, this television rights negotiation that they're doing includes the WNBA. The television rights deals that the NBA is doing right now includes the WNBA, and they believe that the WNBA's value is going to be somewhere in the vicinity of $240 million per year. But it's difficult to figure out what exactly that means, because it, like, how are we defining that? It's mm-hmm. all, it's not like the leagues aren't being itemized. Like, okay, it's $1 billion for the NBA per year and $500 million for the WNBA per year. Like, that's not how this is being like broken down. But the gist of the article that I think a lot of these numbers came from was, this will be the last time that the WNBA's contract, that the WNBA's television rights deal mm-hmm. is negotiated with the NBA's. Mm. And in 10 or 11 years, or, you know, probably 9 or 10 years when these negotiations start, that will offer the first true look at what the WNBA is worth. Mm. And with this new contract, they'll absolutely begin the process of turning a profit. Mm-hmm. And with the growth that I think we all expect the game to experience over the next decade, the league could be entering its first, while they might be experiencing a popularity boom right now and a television boom and all of these things, they could likely experience their first financial boom mm-hmm. In a decade. When they negotiate their own television deal,
to the best of your knowledge, is what percentage would you say the correct media rights deal plays in turning a profit? Like, because that's kind of the argument I was having over the over the weekend with my man Ace and a couple of our other buddies in the group chat, and he was like, they still don't turn a profit. And I said, I at the time I didn't know. I said I could understand if they don't turn a profit, mm-hmm. but I've seen some articles where the wording was different, like generate. And I know generate doesn't mean that's what you come out with, but they mm-hmm. they've made $200 million. And it's like, well, generate made has a different connotation to me than generate. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't know. Maybe they have made a profit. I don't know. But I said also at the same time, they're on this old TV deal. And I sent the link to the article about they're about to quadruple their current deal. Mm-hmm. And I said that should get them in the black with the new TV deal. But I also wasn't sure, like, how much, to the best of your knowledge, does a TV deal, the right TV deal, go towards making a profit?
It's everything. Mm-hmm. And you can use that across leagues. Or we can go to the old familiar wrestling line, which I did not even think was possible. When it felt like the popularity of professional wrestling, specifically the WWE, but overall professional wrestling was kind of waning a little bit. Mm-hmm. You got Warner Brothers willing to invest in an entirely brand new startup wrestling company using nothing more than their history of being home for a professional wrestling company in the past. At the same time, WWE was signing what I think amounted to like $5 billion worth of television deals. Mm. And now you got this new Netflix thing coming into play. So that's ultimately what determines. It's not how many Austin 316 shirts are sold or how many people are subscribing to the network. It's how much is Netflix willing to pay you to air their product. The WWE is arguably at their lowest point since like 1994 in terms of television. The way we consume television now is differently than it was back in 1994. But you can go back to like King Mabel and Diesel and all of this different stuff. When you see like television ratings that were as low as they've been the last few years. But what WWE has been able to sell you on is like, look at our YouTube, look at our social media engagement, look at how many people follow John Cena and Roman Reigns and all of these different things. And now you've got Fox like, yeah, here's $2 billion. We want you on network. Mm-hmm. Here's USA going, yeah, we want you $2 billion. Now, if two people are watching your show, but these two networks are paying you a combined $5 billion to air your product, you're a $5 billion company at minimum. Mm-hmm. That's the same in sports. We always joke about the caps going up. The cap's going up because a new TV deal is coming into play. Mm-hmm. 9 million people watched the finals on Friday. The lowest television rating for an NBA finals in I don't know how long. But that's not going to affect someone offering you $76 billion total to air your product for the next 11 years. It is the most important contract negotiation a commissioner or owner of a company who's trying to create a television product can make, whether it's Roger Goodell or Adam Silver or Rob Manfred. Mm. Giants get the win 13-6. That was yesterday. Why did it say live? Why didn't you tell me? I only turned this here because I thought it was live.
I thought there was nothing else on.
No, I only clicked on it because I was like, is this live? Really? It said live.
I don't know why they played this game. I mean,
well, I just don't know why it said live.
That's
because Lord knows I wasn't watching baseball yesterday. But hey, shout out. Are they playing today? They got to be playing today, right?
I think they are. I think they're in Chicago. They play the.
I was thinking, why?
They play the Negro League game later this week, I think, against the Cardinals at Rockwell or Rockwood or something like that on Thursday. I think they're in Chicago though. But I was just about to say something about. I was about to make a smart ass remark.
Well, make one. What's stopping you? Steal on KC.
I was gonna say. So you tell me, success on YouTube should generate.
Well, that's
money.
A smart ass remark. No. What should generate financial success is success on YouTube. And on the traditional ratings, like the WWE's ratings had to go in the toilet for them to start propping up YouTube. D'Lo and KC's ratings are through the roof and we're propping up YouTube.
I'm about to say that's crazy that the WWE was able to, you know, pivot off of bad TV ratings and still get all this money. Mm-hmm. What would happen if they had great traditional ratings and great YouTube numbers?
Yeah. You know what? We've been doing this long enough to know we're never going to find out.
They hit him with the Sugar Ray Leonard. That's what he told Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Everybody wants to see us fight. And he looked at Marvelous Marvin Hagler and he said, but it's never going to happen. So long, everybody. And Marvelous Marvin Hagler thought he was invited there to announce their fight. Mm-hmm. This is his little retirement speech. And then Sugar looks at him and he goes, "Hey Marvin, I see you in the in the arena, and they're like, oh, here we go. They're going to announce the fight. Marvin fixing his tux, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm about to come in the ring, and we're going to announce our fight, because Marvin Hagler really wanted the fight. He goes, everybody wants to know what would happen if we fought each other. They're never going to find out. Good night, everybody. I'm out of here. He was pissed.
Did you know Vince McMahon tried to promote Sugar Ray Leonard fights?
What?
No, if I you go back that. And you watch SummerSlam 1988, the first one, the Mega Powers versus the Mega Bucks, unless they cut it out, you'll see them run video package for Sugar Ray versus, I don't know, who is a white fighter. And it was Vince's attempt to try to promote boxing.
Feels like Vince would have been a great boxer.
He always wanted, it started to happen too late, but he wanted to take over for Don King. He wanted to get Mike away from Don King. But he always worked with Don King. So he never, they never really fully made that move. But like Shane was like, hey, we need to get with Mike.
I never knew that. Now they're working with the UFC.
One of the Shane has been like ahead of the curve on a lot of things. Like Shane wanted to promote boxing. He wanted to buy the UFC before the group with Dana and I think it's the Fertittas before they bought it. Like he wanted to buy it, but Vince was like, "Well, what if I'm using a name? I don't know who. What if Royce Gracie loses? Then what do I do?" Well, then you make the guy who beat him a new star.
Yeah,
then what if he loses? Like, he couldn't wrap his brain around the idea of, well, no, I need him to win like five times. Like, he never would have booked Holly Holm to beat, you know, Ronda Rousey.
Right.
And when he realized, like, I can't control this, I don't want no part of it. So Shane was like, let me have it.
Right, now I'm about to ask.
Like, just let me have
Shane
it.
Have that division of WWE nope. Enterprises.
No, nope. Wouldn't let him have it. Made Shane go off to China or something.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.